Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Well, the US President Donald Trump has vowed that his policies will never change. He made the comment on his Truth Social platform as global markets tumbled for a second day following his announcement of new US tariffs. This afternoon, the Trade Forum, established by the Taoiseach in February, has been discussing US tariffs, the threat of further sectoral tariffs, and says it's preparing a plan to help guide the country through the coming period of economic uncertainty and seeking new markets for Irish exports as well. James Lawless, Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, was at the forum and he joins me now. Minister, you're very welcome indeed to the programme.
Good evening, Cormac. Thank you for having me on.
It's a time of huge uncertainty, obviously, with markets tumbling, as we discussed, and an awful lot of companies worried, I'm sure, and people worried about their jobs. What was discussed at the forum today?
Yeah, so look, we had a very good round table at the forum. This is the third meeting of the group now. So we have ministers and economic briefs largely, and we have stakeholders, IDA, Enterprise Ireland, IBEC, exporter associations, and many, many others around the table. And look, I suppose we're taking stock. The tariffs were only announced on Tuesday night. We're now Friday afternoon and looking around the world. So I think you're right in the sense that there's been huge volatility in the United States and the stock market plummeted on the back of this. And there's been a lot of questions raised about the formula that was applied and how exactly it's arrived and is it fair, is it correct, etc. But I suppose we have to play the hand we're dealt and we have to get on with it as a government, as an economy and as a nation and deal with it.
And was the impact of Trump's tariffs on Ireland discussed? What will it be?
Absolutely, yeah. So I suppose that was the main point of today's meeting, yeah. So, look, I suppose that's still being considered, that's still being worked out. I mean, a few things I'd say. One is that we have, where we have exposures, that we have a very significant number of US multinationals based in Ireland. However, their exporting activity isn't necessarily back to the United States. Certainly in terms of goods, a lot of it actually goes out to the wider world. There is a world beyond the United States, and I think close to 85-90% of our exports, including from US firms in Ireland, go elsewhere than back to the US.
I know, but a huge chunk does go to the United States, and that's in the firing line, isn't it?
It does indeed. So, look, I suppose each approach will have, each sector will have a different approach. So,
which sector might be most affected, do you know?
Well, I suppose, look, there's a general relief at the moment that pharma is outside of the equation. But, you know, it's a developing situation and we're waiting to see where that goes next. There are developments that will be made, I think, on an ongoing basis. The other thing I think we all agree today, I think we need to sort of hold our nerve here a little bit. Ireland has faced challenges before, you know, economic and otherwise. Mm-hmm. We had Brexit, we had COVID, we had the supply chain crisis after Ukraine. So we've got through it through pretty good management.
And there's great experience and great trauma knowledge and so on. But
yes.
In terms of nuts and bolts, though, you mentioned pharma monetarily now. Is pharma the most affected sector? What else follows?
Not yet, because the pharma is out of the loop. There's a question about medical devices, whether they're in or out. I mean, there's a technical definition readout from the White House, so, you know, that's being studied. Yeah. And things like semiconductors are absolutely key to our knowledge economy. We've Intel and other manufacturers here in the state. So, you know, but there's geopolitical reasons as well for them to be in Ireland. So I suppose one thing I'd say is, these companies aren't just in Ireland because of our tax or our tariff or trade environment. They're here because we have an educated workforce. Talent is the bedrock of our economy. We have a knowledge economy for the last 40, 50 years. And central to that has been investment in innovation, investment in education, investment in talent cultivation.
And I say this really respectfully, you don't have to make that argument here because I think an awful lot of listeners will agree
People
with you.
That.
But we want to figure out at this trade forum that you were part of today, what the impact on Irish jobs and the Irish economy will be, and also what is the plan to deal with it?
Yeah, so look, I suppose it's a multi-strand plan. So let's take a few different sectors. So let's take the food industry. You know, that's one that is in the firing line because exports are going across the Atlantic. You know, things like Kerry butter, Kerry gold, etc. There's all sorts of products that are currently sold in. So Minister Martin Hayden, my colleague, is embarking next week across the States on a tour. Minister Neil Smith is heading the other direction on a trade mission. So where there are particular goods or services, and it is only goods at the moment, that are affected, we are actively engaging. There is a degree of negotiation going on. So the White House has put out this list of tariffs. It's drawn a line in the sand, but we're getting a message behind the scenes that there is always room for, as the president was saying, room to do a deal. So look, that is currently, I suppose, the detail is being worked out in terms of what.
So you're saying Minister Martin Hayden is going to for a trade mission or a tour of the US,
yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So I mean,
yes.
He's essentially saying buy our more expensive products. Why not go and diversify markets?
Well, Minister Naismith is heading the other direction. She's not going to the US. She's heading into wider Europe and further afield. So look, different ministers, and I'm just back from India, and while in India, I was advancing the EU-India Free Trade Agreement. So India is a market of 1.4 billion people, much larger than the US, I think four times the size. So there are other markets outside the US, and without for a minute taking away from our dependence and go to work in relationship with the US, there is a wider world out there that we are actively cultivating and actively seeking. I spent 10 days in India. I met Minister Jaishankar, the foreign minister, first meeting with the foreign minister in 100 years, I think, at that level. So we have a really good engagement going on globally. And one of the things that we're doing, coming back around to the talent and innovation piece, because I really think this is the reason companies are here, is because we have a stable environment. We have good economic husbandry, you know, generally good political stability, and we have a system that works, and we have a workforce that works, and an educated workforce.
I know that, but you're going on trade missions to the US, you're looking at other markets as well. What about allocating more resources to the IDA and Enterprise Ireland? Would that be done?
Well, they're very much at the table today. Yeah, they're part of the conversation and a very key part.
I know, as they are now, but I'm saying, will they need more resources, and will that happen?
So I'm engaging with the sectors in terms of the skills gaps that, if any exist, or reskilling or upskilling is required. I suppose within my department and portfolio, Minister Burke is engaging with them. You know, all the ministers at that table are putting their, rolling up their sleeves and saying, what can we do together? What do we need to do? So there's a number of actions.
But was there concern, let me ask you, about jobs, existing jobs in Ireland at the moment?
Of course there's going to be concern at a time of changing global economic turmoil. There's going to be concern, but I wouldn't want to overstate the concern either, because you know, you can be concerned or you can be practical and you can get on with it. And I suppose getting on with it means putting in place solutions. And at the moment, let's be clear, there isn't a threat to jobs in Ireland. There's a threat to jobs in America. We've heard of factories closing overnight. I think the NAFTA, ripping up the NAFTA deal, is something the president would regret sooner rather than later.
But you're saying there's no threat. That's what that was said at the forum today. There's no threat to jobs in Ireland at the moment. What happens, though, if US multinationals say, we're not going to invest further in Irish plants, we're going to do it in the US? Surely that's a threat to jobs, no?
Yeah, so there's always a threat, and this brings the threat higher. So this is a really significant challenge that's been put to us from the American unilateral action, and we have to take stock of it. We have to understand how we respond. We also have to respond at the European level, working with colleagues across Europe, and Commissioner McGrath was engaged this weekend back in Ireland, but he's talking with the rest of the Commission on how they respond as a whole to this. Ireland is contributing significantly to that conversation. But one of the things we're saying is, look, let's just let this play out. I think a reactive response, a rapid reactive response, could actually do more damage than taking our time, actually studying this, letting this play out for a few days. There's already been some backlash in the United States. For example, the Senate voted down the Canadian tariffs. So let's just see where this goes.
But you can rest in your laurels maybe a little bit too much as well. I think it was heard at the trade forum today that the government will come up with an action plan here within 6 weeks.
Well, I was working on this 6 weeks ago, so I don't know. I'd be very surprised if anybody at the forum is waiting 6 weeks to get busy.
When are we going to get the action plan then?
So I don't know, to be honest, Cormac. I'm not sure what the action plan is. I have an action plan that I'm already working on in my department. And I think every other minister at the table and every other business representative at the table is working on an action plan. So I can't comment. I didn't hear that comment being made. Also, I'm conscious this was a Chatham House rules meeting. You know, the upshot of it is something that we can discuss and put out there. But I'm not going to get into every comment made by every participant in the meeting. It would be unfair for participants to do that.
Okay. Look, there might be some solace for people to see that the trade forum is up and running, but they'll want to see action, I'm sure, and along with the European Union and the institutions of the European Union, as had been said time and again by various government ministers. Can I ask you about another issue, Minister? And that's the announcement today that we're going to get a housing SAR, whatever that means exactly. Whose decision is this? Is this from the department or is it from the Taoiseach?
Yeah, so one of the patterns that we've seen is that we have a large number of sites around the country. We have sites that are partially built are near completion, some of them that are getting going. And a common pattern has been complications with the water infrastructure, with grid infrastructure, with road access, planning conditions being fulfilled at the end, grid access. And there's all these little gotchas, but these little gotchas are building up to a huge problem for the system that we really need to ramp up.
And that's the job of the department. My question really is in relation to this new housing SAR. Is that a decision from the Taoiseach or is it a decision from the department? We need a housing SAR. Who made that decision?
Well, I don't know who made the decision, but what I can tell you is that the Strategic Housing Activation Office is being put together. I presume as Minister Brown is driving this. I spoke to him earlier today and he set me through some of the, features of it. But I think this is really important because, and I was in a meeting just locally with the Kildare County Council myself this morning, and we're looking at, right around the country, the same problem is replicated. We have housing developments nearly completed,
I know,
ready to go.
But the point made by Eoghan O'Brien of Sinn Féin is that's the job of the Minister of the day. Would you welcome a SAR for further and higher education?
So I think a SAR has been a bit strong. This is an activation forum. This is pulling together people from TI, from the NTA, from the engineering bodies to say, look, what is going wrong here? How do we make this work? This is another practical solution.
But isn't that the job of the Minister?
Problem. So the job of the Minister is to set policy and set direction for his department, which includes planning, which includes local government, which includes multiple other things. But I know housing is his number one focus. You know, that's he's told me that many times, and I know that is the focus of government at the moment.
But he needs a SAR, is that it?
There's no SAR. Sorry, just for clarity, there's no SAR being appointed.
Okay.
There is a Strategic Housing Activation Office, which will have a number of individuals with drawn from state and probably private sectors who have expertise and making these sites work.
Okay,
and
okay.
We cannot see more building sites sitting there, lying idle, because the problems are great, problems of water, problems of planning. We need, and you know, even people at the Central Bank.
And you say this will help. Okay, before we finish, can I ask you about another matter very briefly? And this is, of course, as Minister for Further and Higher Education, you're going to be aware that various reports this week that more than half of all third-level students could face an effective increase in college fees this year as cost of living supports are reduced or scrapped. No decision for sure on this yet, but will that happen? Can you confirm?
Yeah, so I held a workshop yesterday in Croke Park with students, with access officers, with college authorities, further education people, and people right across the sector, and said, look, what are the key challenges around the cost of education? You know, is it housing? Is it student accommodation? Is it transport? Is it cost of books? Is it cost of materials? Is it fees? You know, what is it? What is the number one issue? And we took some sampling. Less than 10% of people actually identify student fees as being the main barrier. Because to be honest, the people who need the student fees paid should be already having them paid by Susie. That's the whole point of having a grant system in place.
Yeah, but that so 10% will suffer, will they not?
So there's a range of ways we can do this. I think we do it in a way that's progressive, that's fair, that targets the supports to those that need them most. And if there are edge cases or hard cases at the moment, people are saying, I could really do with this support, I'm not getting it. I've asked my team to say, well, what's going on here? Why are those edge cases not working? Can we expand the bands? Can we expand the range? So there will be a reduction in the student contribution fee as a committed to the programme for government. But exactly at what pace, exactly by how much, it remains to be worked out between now. And also, this has to be done in a sustainable, costed way. We saw in recent years, emergency interventions year on year, not guaranteed from one year to the next, households worrying about finances, worrying about the budget, looking for a plan. I want you to do something sustainable, costed and permanent.
And we'll talk about it when the decision is finally made. Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, James Lawless of Fianna Fáil, thank you.